When Mr. Prywell had heard this story, he did quickly believe it was true. Wherefore he went forthwith to my Lord Mayor's house, and acquainted him therewith, who, sending for the subordinate preacher, brake the business to him. And he as soon gave the alarm to the town, for he was now the chief preacher in Mansoul, because, as yet, my Lord Secretary was ill at ease. And this was the way that the subordinate preacher did take to alarm the town therewith. The same hour he caused the lecture bell to be rung, so the people came together. He gave them then a short exhortation to watchfulness, and made Mr. Prywell's news the argument thereof. For, said he, an horrible plot is contrived against Mansoul, even to massacre us all in a day. Nor is this story to be slighted, for Mr. Prywell is the author thereof. Mr. Prywell was always a lover of Mansoul, a sober and judicious man, a man that is no tattler nor raiser of false reports, but one that loves to look into the very bottom of matters and talks nothing of news but by very solid arguments. I will call him, and you shall hear him your own selves. So he called him, and he came and told his tale so punctually and affirmed its truth with such ample grounds that Mansoul fell presently under a conviction of the truth of what he said. The preacher did also back him, saying, "Sirs, it is not irrational for us to believe it, for we have provoked Shaddai to anger, and have sent Emmanuel out of the town. We have had too much correspondence with Diabolonians, and have forsaken our former mercies. No marvel, then, if the enemy, both within and without, should design and plot our ruin. And what time like this to do it? The sickness is now in the town, and we have been made weak thereby. Many a good man is dead, and the Diabolonians of late grow stronger and stronger. Besides," quoth the subordinate preacher, "I have received from this good truth-teller this one inkling further, that he understood by those that he overheard that several letters have lately passed between the Furies and the Diabolonians in order to our destruction." When Mansoul heard all this, and not being able to gainsay it, they lift up their voice and wept. Mr. Prywell did also, in the presence of the townsmen, confirm all that their subordinate preacher had said. Wherefore they now set afresh to bewail their folly, and to a doubling of petitions to Shaddai and his son. They also break the business to the captains, high commanders, and men of war in the town of Mansoul, entreating them to use the means to be strong and to take good courage, and that they would look after their harness and make themselves ready to give Diabolus battle by night and by day, shall he come, as they are informed he will, to beleaguer the town of Mansoul. When the captains heard this, they, being always true lovers of the town of Mansoul, what do they but, like so many Samsons, they shake themselves and come together to consult and contrive how to defeat those bold and hellish contrivances that were upon the wheel by the means of Diabolus and his friends against the now sickly, weakly, and much impoverished town of Mansoul, and they agreed upon these following particulars. 1. That the gates of Mansoul should be kept shut, and made fast with bars and locks, and that all persons that went out or came in should be very strictly examined by the captains of the guards, to the end, said they, that those that are managers of the plot amongst us may, either coming or going, be taken, and that we may also find out who are the great contrivers amongst us of our ruin. 2. The next thing was that a strict search should be made for all kind of Diabolonians throughout the whole town of Mansoul, and that every man's house from top to bottom should be looked into, and that, too, house by house, that, if possible, a further discovery might be made of all such among them as had a hand in these designs. 3. It was further concluded upon that wheresoever or with whomsoever any of the Diabolonians were found, that even those of the town of Mansoul that had given them house and harbor should, to their shame and the warning of others, take penance in the open place. It was, moreover, resolved by the famous town of Mansoul that a public fast and a day of humiliation should be kept throughout the whole corporation, to the justifying of their prince, the abasing of themselves before him for their transgressions against him, and against Shaddai, his father. It was further resolved that all such in Mansoul as did not on that day endeavor to keep that fast, and to humble themselves for their faults, but that should mind their worldly employs, or be found wandering up and down the streets, should be taken for Diabolonians, and should suffer, as Diabolonians, for such their wicked doings. 5. It was further concluded, then, that with what speed and with what warmth of mind they would renew their humiliation for sin and their petitions to Shaddai for help. They also resolved to send tidings to the court of all that Mr. Prywell had told them. 6. It was also determined that thanks should be given by the town of Mansoul to Mr. Prywell for his diligent seeking of the welfare of their town, and further, that for as much as he was so naturally inclined to seek their good, and also to undermine their foes, they gave him a commission of Scoutmaster General for the good of the town of Mansoul. When the corporation, with their captains, had thus concluded, they did as they had said. They shut up their gates, they made for Diabolonians strict search, they made those with whom any were found to take penance in the open place, they kept their fast, and renewed their petitions to their prince. And Mr. Prywell managed his charge, and the trust that Mansoul had put in his hands, with great conscience and good fidelity. For he gave himself wholly up to his employ, and that not only within the town, but he went out to pry, to see, and to hear. Chapter 13. And not many days after he provided for his journey, and went towards Hellgate Hill, into the country where the doubters were, where he heard of all that had been talked of in Mansoul, and he perceived also that Diabolus was almost ready for his march, etc. So he came back with speed, and calling the captains and elders of Mansoul together, he told them where he had been, what he had heard, and what he had seen. Particularly he told them that Diabolus was almost ready for his march, and that he had made old Mr. Incredulity, that once break prison in Mansoul, the general of his army, that his army consisted all of doubters, and that their number was above 20,000. He told, moreover, that Diabolus did intend to bring with him the chief princes of the infernal pit, and that he would make them chief captains over his doubters. He told them, moreover, that it was certainly true that several of the Black Den would, with Diabolus, ride reprimades to reduce the town of Mansoul to the obedience of Diabolus, their prince. He said, moreover, that he understood by the doubters, among whom he had been, that the reason why old Incredulity was made general of the whole army was because none truer than he to the tyrant, and because he had an implacable spite against the welfare of the town of Mansoul. Besides, said he remembers the affronts that Mansoul has given him, and he is resolved to be revenged of them. But the black princes shall be made high commanders. Only Incredulity shall be over them all, because, which I had almost forgot, he can more easily and more dexterously beleaguer the town of Mansoul than can any of the princes besides. Now when the captains of Mansoul with the elders of the town had heard the tidings that Mr. Prywell did bring, they thought it expedient, without further delay, to put into execution the laws that against the Diabolonians their prince had made for them, and given them in commandment to manage against them. Wherefore, forthwith, a diligent and impartial search was made in all houses in Mansoul, for all and all manner of Diabolonians. Now in the house of Mr. Mind, and in the house of the great Lord Wilbywill, were two Diabolonians found. In Mr. Mind's house was one Lord Covetousness found, but he had changed his name to Prudent Thrifty. In my Lord Wilbywill's house, one Lasciviousness was found, but he had changed his name to Harmless Mirth. These two the captains and elders of the town of Mansoul took, and committed them to custody under the hand of Mr. True Man, the jailer. And this man handled them so severely, and loaded them so well with irons, that in time they both fell into a very deep consumption, and died in the prison house. Their masters also, according to the agreement of the captains and elders, were brought to take penance in the open place, to their shame, and for a warning to the rest of the town of Mansoul. Now this was the manner of penance in those days. The persons offending, being made sensible of the evil of their doings, were enjoined open confession of their faults and a strict amendment of their lives. After this, the captains and elders of Mansoul sought yet to find out more Diabolonians, wherever they lurked, whether in dens, caves, holes, vaults, or where else they could, in or about the wall or town of Mansoul. But though they could plainly see their footing, and so follow them by their track, and smell to their holes, even to the mouths of their caves and dens, yet take them, hold them, and do justice upon them, they could not. Their ways were so crooked, their holds so strong, and they so quick to take sanctuary there. But Mansoul did now with so stiff an hand rule over the Diabolonians that were left, that they were glad to shrink into corners. Time was when they durst walk openly, and in the day, but now they were forced to embrace privacy in the night. Time was when a Mansoulian was their companion, but now they counted them deadly enemies. This good change did Mr. Prywell's intelligence make in the famous town of Mansoul. By this time, Diabolus had finished his army, which he intended to bring with him for the ruin of Mansoul, and had set over them captains and other field officers, such as liked his furious stomach best. Himself was Lord Paramount. Incredulity was general of his army. Their highest captains shall be named afterwards, but now for their officers' colors and scutcheons. 1. Their first captain was Captain Rage. He was captain over the election doubters. His were the red colors. His standard-bearer was Mr. Destructive, and the great red dragon he had for his scutcheon. 2. The second captain was Captain Fury. He was captain over the vocation doubters. His standard-bearer was Mr. Darkness. His colors were those that were pale, and he had for his scutcheon the fiery flying serpent. The third captain was Captain Damnation. He was captain over the grace doubters. His were the red colors. Mr. No Life bare them, and he had for his scutcheon the black den. 4. The fourth captain was Captain Insatiable. He was captain over the faith doubters. His were the red colors. Mr. Devourer bare them, and he had for a scutcheon the yawning jaws. 5. The fifth captain was Captain Brimstone. He was captain over the perseverance doubters. His also were the red colors. Mr. Burning bare them, and his scutcheon was the blue and stinking flame. The sixth captain was Captain Torment. He was captain over the resurrection doubters. His colors were those that were pale. Mr. Gnaw was his standard-bearer, and he had the black worm for his scutcheon. 7. The seventh captain was Captain No Ease. He was captain over the salvation doubters. His were the red colors. Mr. Restless bare them, and his scutcheon was the ghastly picture of death. 8. The eighth captain was the Captain Sepulchre. He was captain over the glory doubters. His also were the pale colors. Mr. Corruption was his standard-bearer, and he had for his scutcheon a skull and dead men's bones. 9. The ninth captain was Captain Past Hope. He was captain of those that are called the Felicity Doubters. His standard-bearer was Mr. Despair. His also were the red colors, and his scutcheon was a hot iron and the hard heart. These were his captains, and these were their forces. These were their standards, these were their colors, and these were their scutcheons. Now over these did the great Diabolus make superior captains, and they were in number 7, as namely the Lord Beelzebub, the Lord Lucifer, the Lord Legion, the Lord Apollyon, the Lord Python, the Lord Cerberus, and the Lord Belial. These 7 he sent over the captains, and Incredulity was Lord General, and Diabolus was king. The Raffermaids also, such as were like themselves, were made some of them captains of hundreds, and some of them captains of more, and thus was the army of Incredulity completed. So they set out at Hellgate Hill, for there they had their rendezvous, from whence they came with a straight course upon their march toward the town of Mansoul. Now, as was hinted before, the town had, as Shaddai would have it, received from the mouth of Mr. Prywell the alarm of their coming before. Wherefore they set a strong watch at the gates, and had also doubled their guards. They also mounted their slings in good places, where they might conveniently cast out their great stones to the annoyance of their furious enemy. Nor could those Diabolonians that were in the town do that hurt as was designed they should, for Mansel was now awake. But alas, poor people, they were sorely affrighted at the first appearance of their foes, and at their sitting down before the town, especially when they heard the roaring of their drum. This, to speak truth, was amazingly hideous to hear. It frighted all men 7 miles around, if they were but awake and heard it. The streaming of their colors was also terrible and dejecting to behold. When Diabolus was come up against the town, first he made his approach to Eargate, and gave it a furious assault, supposing, as it seems, that his friends in Mansel had been ready to do the work within, but carelessly done of that before by the vigilance of the captains. Wherefore, missing of the help that he expected from them, and finding his army warmly attended with the stones that the slingers did sling, for that I will say for the captains, that considering the weakness that yet was upon them by reason of the long sickness that had annoyed the town of Mansel, they did gallantly behave themselves. He was forced to make some retreat from Mansel, and to entrench himself and his men in the field, without the reach of the slings of the town. Now, having entrenched himself, he did cast up 4 mounts against the town. The first he called Mount Diabolus, putting his own name thereon, the more to affright the town of Mansel. The other 3 he called thus, Mount Alecto, Mount Megara, Mount Tisiphone. For these are the names of the dreadful furies of hell. Thus he began to play his game with Mansel, and to serve it as doth the lion his prey, even to make it fall before his fury. But as I said, the captains and soldiers resisted so stoutly, and did do such execution with their stones, that they made him, though against stomach, to retreat. Wherefore Mansel began to take courage. Now upon Mount Diabolus, which was raised on the north side of the town, there did the tyrant set up his standard, and a fearful thing it was to behold, for he had wrought in it, by devilish art, after the manner of a scutcheon, a flaming flame, fearful to behold, and the picture of Mansel burning in it. When Diabolus had thus done, he commanded that his drummer should every night approach the walls of the town of Mansel, and so to beat a parley. The command was to do it at nights, for in the daytime they annoyed him with their slings, for the tyrant said that he had a mind to parley with the now trembling town of Mansel, and he commanded that the drums should beat every night, that through weariness they might at last, if possible, at the first they were unwilling yet, be forced to do it. So this drummer did as commanded. He arose and did beat his drum. But when his drum did go, if one looked toward the town of Mansel, behold, darkness and sorrow, and the light was darkened in the heaven thereof. No noise was ever heard upon earth more terrible, except the voice of Shaddai when he speaketh. But how did Mansel tremble? It now looked for nothing but forthwith to be swallowed up. When this drummer had beaten for a parley, he made this speech to Mansel. My master has bid me tell you, that if you will willingly submit, you shall have the good of the earth. But if you shall be stubborn, he is resolved to take you by force. But by that the fugitive had done beating his drum. The people of Mansel had betaken themselves to the captains that were in the castle, so that there was none to regard, nor to give this drummer an answer. So he proceeded no further than night, but returned again to his master to the camp. When Diabolus saw that by drumming he could not work out Mansel to his will, the next night he sendeth his drummer without his drum.